Mike, we have seen over the past several weeks, particularly the last week, a lot of dramatic activity at the nation's campuses, predominantly Columbia University in New York City. We've seen students taking over college campuses, taking over buildings. We have seen some amount of police action. If you look at all of this, is this something that just happened all of a sudden based upon the current issue of the war between Israel and Hamas, or is this something the seeds of which have been planted for a very long time?
Yes, the seeds were sown a long, long time ago, at least since the 80s. Obviously, the Hamas attack on Israel, the massacre of October 7th, the atrocities that were committed by Hamas against civilians in Israel led to American students, not all, obviously, and not even a majority, but many American students take to the streets to support the terrorists, not the actual victim of terror. They supported the people doing the killing and gang raping, not the women who suffered at the hands of Hamas. And that was inexplicable to many people. They were like, why would our students be behaving that way? It was not inexplicable to me. I have been writing about this for a long time. I just wrote a book, Next Gen Marxism, that goes into what has been happening at our universities. So yes, the way the university is structured now, unfortunately, and I'm a big believer in universities. I have a graduate degree. I have two children in college. I'm not for getting rid of university, because the way university life and the whole university is structured right now can only produce this type of perverse outcome.
Taking a look at what these universities have been doing, a lot of the admission standards, Mike, have really required students to adhere to a social justice line, to adhere to a DEI line, et cetera. As we look at this, is this how the student bodies have been sort of selected and put into a congregate setting where this type of groupthink is able to take hold, and they don't really have critical thinking about the issue?
Yeah, very much so. Not just the students, but obviously also the professors. They're hired. Every poll that has been done, every study that has been done, shows that all the professors are very, very liberal, especially in the humanities. Some of the humanities departments are like 100% liberal and not a single conservative, not a single Republican. Any student who's trying to get into a top university knows that he or she must skew the essay a certain way to show that they're either a victim, they have been a victim, or they're members of an oppressed group, or that they're pro-social justice. Social justice as expressed in a way that does not really bring social justice to anybody, because what they're advocating is the end of capitalism and the end of democracy, the greatest engine for creating wealth and reducing poverty ever invented, but social justice in the eyes of the left. So yes, if you're a sussed high school junior sitting down to write your essays to get into Princeton or to get into Brown, especially Brown, you know that you must write the essay in a certain way to show how leftist you are.
As a result of that, we do have a situation where we have Jewish students who now have some legitimate fears about their safety. What do you say about the fact that this so-called woke ideology is now putting an entire group of people based upon their religion or their ethnic heritage at risk?
Because what this does, and this goes back to Marx himself, in the very first page of the manifesto, Marx says very clearly, any of your listeners can just Google this, all of history can be boiled down to the interaction and epic struggle between the oppressed and the oppressor. And the oppressed, in his thinking, was the proletariat, the working class, and the oppressor was the bourgeoisie, the owner of capital. In that, it has retained that notion is with us now, completely undistilled. In that reading, in the reading of today, of 2024, year of our Lord 2024, the Israeli, ergo the Jew, is the oppressor, and the Palestinian is the oppressed, and that justifies any cruelty, any act of cruelty that a Palestinian may commit, including gang rapes and burning babies alive, because they are the oppressed. And that is that type of thinking, that Manichaean thinking that many of our students have just imbibed now. By the time they are in fourth year of college, they have learned this for at least 8 or 9 years. And that is obviously very unfortunate. That is not true. That's not how life is. But it produces very perverse outcomes, as I said.
Let's talk for just a minute here about the issue of free speech. And of course, these protesting students would claim they're only exercising their free speech rights. But at what point does free speech cross a line where you have violence and, you know, vile hatred being spewed against other students on campus?
The courts in the United States for the last 200 years have wrestled with that tension between free speech and individual rights and societal safety. In this case, we don't need to wrestle with anything. We know that trespassing, we know that encampments, we know that occupation, we know that disturbing the other students' right to learn and to study, we know all these things do not constitute free speech, that these things are unconstitutional, they're unlawful. What has happened at Columbia for many, many days now is unlawful. What has happened at UCLA is unlawful. And anybody who is open-minded would know that this is not free speech. This is not First Amendment protected activity. First Amendment protected activity. Yes, there is the right to say, look, I don't like Israel, I don't like Zionism, but when the line is very clearly crossed by the time you and I are speaking right now, the line has been crossed and everybody knows it.
As a result of the fact that administrators and college leaders have really created the climate that allows this to occur, is this really handcuffing them when it comes to dealing with the crisis now?
The administrators and the professors don't want to handcuff it. They want to continue it. They caused this. I don't even blame the students. The professors are at fault here. They are the adults. They were supposed to teach. Columbia used to have a core curriculum that was very good. It taught students. I went to Columbia Business School. Other members of my family have gone to Columbia. Columbia used to make you read the classics. Even while other universities walked away from the classics, Columbia stuck to it. Columbia no longer does that. Columbia now gives you, in its classics history, in its classics course, it gives you an understanding of 20th century politics and 20th century philosophy that is very much the only one side, and that is the side of the left. It's all climatism, it's all race, it's all sex, it's all everything that the race uses now to transform our society. I'm a big fan of Columbia, by the way. I think we need to fight for Columbia. We need to fight for Harvard. We need to fight for Yale and Princeton. It's too important to American life. But no, they have done this to themselves. They don't want to stop it.
We have been talking with Mike Gonzalez, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, also author of the book Next Gen Marxism. Mike, tell us a little bit about Heritage. Where can folks find you on the web? And also, where can they find your book?
My book, I co-authored it with Catherine Gorka, the great Catherine Gorka. It's called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It. The Heritage Foundation is a think tank. It's called the think tank. We're actually a do tank. We formulate policy, and we're really one of the leading forces, if not the leading force, of conservatism in America.
Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation. Heritage.org is the website. Mike, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.